I tried not to garner too many stares as I strolled through campus. Luckily, it was a quiet afternoon, and the last fella I'd met had his nose too far in a book to even notice my heels pounding the pavement. Whatever he was reading sure must have been interesting. My shoes clacked loudly as I walked with a quick pace. To me, it seemed like a distraction. A constant reminder. But I guess nobody cared as long as I let them play with their little intellectual games. The campus was meant to be idyllic. A safe haven from the cruel city that surrounded it. But it only left me feeling cold. The one thing that made me more uncomfortable than corporate buildings were ivory towers. Self-important geniuses tell themselves that they care while scorning anybody who couldn't fork over the dime to spend another 20 years behind a stack of books. So much money and so much time. All they could realize that special relativity wasn't just somebody's aunt. Pretty damn worthless if you ask me. I guess I should be grateful I was born a woman. At least I had an excuse not to worry my pretty little head with all those complex equations. To a scholar, a working class man is lazy. But a woman is just too fragile to understand anything beyond a simple arithmetic. It was never an assumption that I cared to challenge, but I suspected that the kid sister felt its siren song. She wanted to learn what the world told her she couldn't. So she came here. At least, that was the hope. In theory, it made sense. Girl had to be smart. Both her brothers were. And she sure as hell would have had to keep her ambitions a secret from her rule-respecting parents. Which would explain why she ran away. But I still couldn't find the silly girl. And all the suits on the damn campus were too preoccupied with their research to be distracted by feminine wiles. Without any more leads, I decided to randomly search through a nearby mathematics building. I wasn't expecting much, but I guess if you dig through enough hay, eventually you find a needle. As I entered the building, I heard voices coming from the end of the hall. I followed the noise to a classroom and ducked my head in. And that's when I saw her, or rather him, writing a complicated string of numbers and symbols on a chalkboard at the back of the room. A bunch of old men were scattered around, mumbling and nodding their heads. I guess her chicken scratch was something impressive. Too bad her disguise wasn't. I'd seen better cross-dressing on nickel nights down at the hen house. The girl was wearing some hand-me-down suit. It was far too large for her petite frame, yet somehow couldn't fully hide her ample breasts. Her face was still as smooth as a newborn babe, and her hair wasn't cut. She'd only concealed it in an old bowler cap. Anybody who had seen a woman in the past 30 years would have been able to guess that she was a girl. Luckily for her, I doubted that anybody else in the room had even thought about a woman in the past 30 years, much less seen one. And if any of them did suspect anything, my guess was that none of them would want to say anything. She was too brilliant for them to want to call her out. I, however, had no such reservation. I marched into the room and announced that I wanted a word with the strapping young lad that they were all so enthralled with. The room got quiet. Nobody seemed quite sure how to respond. After a moment, one old fella tried to explain that the boy was a mute. He hadn't spoken a word since he'd gotten there. I sighed. Weren't so dense that the girl's high-pitched voice wouldn't blow her cover. Clever of her to keep quiet. I was about to argue with him when the girl wordlessly grabbed my wrist and led me down the hall to an empty classroom. Thankfully, nobody seemed inclined to follow. The second that she shut the door, she told me that she knew who I was and why I'd come. I chuckled. Girl was quick on her feet, just like her brothers. I asked why she hadn't come forward when she learned that her brother had been killed. She shrugged and said she didn't think that she would be of any help. I asked her if she thought that I had killed him. She looked me up and down before muttering, "No." I could tell that she wasn't lying. She had nothing to gain by doing so, and she had no reason to fear for her safety. It wasn't like I could murder her with a room full of overly articulate witnesses two doors down. If she didn't want to pin the blame on the most obvious suspect, the girl had to know more than she was telling. I just needed to get the information out of her. I thought about blackmailing her with her not-so-secret identity, but I knew it was a lost cause. Threats get people to give up the facts, but not their intuitions. If the girl had any actual evidence on her brother's killer, she would have gone to the police. My guess was that she only had a hunch, one that she was keeping close to her chest. I needed a way to gain her trust, and there was only one way I knew how to do that. I chuckled. I might as well give the girl what she craved most, an education. I leaned against the wall and asked her if she felt satisfied with university life. When she said that she was, I smiled and asked her if she thought that she always would be. She stared at me. I told her that it was a pity that she was condemning herself to a life of celibacy. After all, she could never let a man touch her without blowing her cover. She'd have nobody to help her scratch that special itch. I laughed and said that she must love math a lot. I sure as hell wouldn't be able to take it if it were me. I watched her bite her lip. Then I leaned closer to her and asked her if she knew how to satisfy herself. She blushed and shook her head. I asked if she wanted me to teach her. I waited for her to nod, and then I led her over to a nearby desk. I told her to climb up on top of it as I sat myself in a chair in front of her. I asked if she knew where her clit was. She looked down at herself with hesitation. I held back a laugh. The girl had a lot to learn. I grabbed her hand in mine and ran it over the spot to show her. She gasped. Poor thing had never been touched before. I moved her hand in gentle circles around it to warm her up. I knew I had to take it slow if she could feel it that strong through her clothes. Eventually, my hand left hers. I sat back and watched her moan as she touched herself. I could tell that she was already getting excited. As she shook, her long hair fell out from under her cap and cascaded down her back. I wanted to tell her that she looked beautiful, but I didn't want to distract her. Gently, I smiled and took her hand again. I asked if she was ready to see it. She nodded, and I slowly undid her baggy trousers. She nodded, and I slowly undid her baggy trousers. I had to resist the urge to kiss her as she looked down on me with those damn Bambi eyes. Once I finally got them off, I laughed. She was wearing some of the frilliest panties that I had ever seen. I guess that she didn't have to worry about any of those nerdy fellas seeing them. They could be our secret. Before I could stop myself, I bent down and kissed her little pleasure button. Thankfully, she giggled with delight. I sighed and told her I just wanted to remind her where it was, just in case she forgot. Then, I pulled her panties down and I showed her how her clit had swollen. I pet her gently. I knew she would have no problems finding it now. I told her to touch herself again, and she did. This time, with a sense of eagerness. She was finally learning to give her body what it craved. I moaned in delight as I watched her pussy get wetter and wetter. Then I grabbed her other hand and placed it over her chest. She gasped as she felt her hard, erect nipples and began to stroke her cunt even harder. I smiled and asked if she wanted to taste herself. When she nodded, I slipped my fingers into her slit and allowed myself to tease her. I let my fingers wander for a bit while she squirmed. I told her to keep touching herself too. And she did, even though the pleasure almost overwhelmed her. When she was about to reach her limit, I finally pulled my hand away and slid a finger inside her mouth. She looked surprised, but I assured her that she tasted good. Then I stuck another finger in my mouth and licked my lips to prove it. I expected her to roll her eyes, but instead she leaned over and kissed me. It felt too good for me to be surprised. I kissed her back and asked if she wanted me to show her another special spot, the one inside her. Instead of answering, she grabbed my hand and moved it back down to her pussy. I delighted in her newfound daring. She started rubbing her clit again as I guided my finger inside her. I knew that she could only handle one. She was so tight. It didn't take me long to find her G-spot. I tried pointing out where it was, but it was clear that she was too lost in the throes of ecstasy. Her entire body was shaking. She had to bite her lip from screaming out in excitement. I asked her if she was ready to come. She managed to get out of trembling, "Yes," as she kept stroking her cunt. Luckily for her, I didn't need to be told twice. I stood up and kissed her as my finger pressed further into her. I stroked her faster and with more pressure as she kept playing with herself. I wouldn't let up. I knew that she was on the edge. Then, I finally felt her break, and her body finally gave in to the tension. She gasped in sheer delight. I held her as close as I could as she experienced the joy of her first orgasm. I hoped that it was one she wouldn't forget. When she finally calmed down, she thanked me. I told her that she could thank me more by telling me the truth. The whole truth. She sighed and told me that she didn't think that I killed her brother. She said that she may not be very streetwise, but she knew that there were smart crimes and stupid crimes. And killing somebody in cold blood right after they left your office was a stupid crime. She figured a detective would know better than that. At least, one who was able to stay in business as long as I had. The girl was more streetwise than she thought. But another question entered my mind as I listened to her talk, and I felt my curiosity get the better of me. I asked why she had lied to her brother about where she was. I understood that the rest of her family just wanted her to marry rich, but the kids seemed open-minded. She nodded and said he normally was. But according to her, the boy was always a mouthy drunk. Get a pint of liquor in him and he would criticize just about anybody. As much as she loved him, she couldn't handle any random outbursts about her new career path. I guess I couldn't blame the girl for that, even if it would have saved me a lot of trouble. But I was still short on time and couldn't afford to beat around the bush anymore. I had to be blunt. I asked if she thought that her older brother killed him. She didn't seem at all surprised by the accusation. She said it was possible, but unlikely. As far as she could tell, the two bickered, but they always seemed to really care for each other underneath it all. She shrugged and said that she was sorry she couldn't be more help. I smiled. I wanted to tell her that she'd given me a new lead. I just needed to find the right evidence to back it up. But there was no sense getting her hopes up for nothing. If I was right, she'd find out soon enough. I thanked her and gave her a quick kiss as I ran out the door. As I turned back to the city, I knew it was time to talk to the man I spent most of my life avoiding. The chief of police.